I call them Molinoids because they're not of Earth. Is there an instrument, a musical instrument, that either of you can't pick up and play the first time you pick it up? I don't get it. It's not human, whatever it is. Oh, it's wonderful. There will be a leaders' meeting tomorrow night at 7:30 here at the Study Center. There will be no Sunday fellowship next Sunday, August 16th, because most of us will be on our way north to family camp. Yay! Oh, come on! Yay! I'm excited, boy. Can't wait to get there. If you have not picked up your letter, you were sent the letter by email, but if you didn't get it, or if you didn't get it some other way, there are letters and directions out on the table. There's a yellow copy and a white copy. Make sure you get that today. It takes a little doing to get to this camp, so don't get halfway there and realize you don't have your directions, because you will be making lots of phone calls, I promise. So pick up the information. If you are planning to purchase a teaching set of the teachings at family camp, please remember to bring a checkbook with you or some cash. They're usually about $30, but we'd like to get all the orders in and all the payments in at family camp. So please bring some cash with you. Also at family camp, we're going to have a workshop with the bookstore, and it's going to be a next steps workshop on how to use a concordance, kind of an intermediate. So if you've been through the concordance workshops before, this one's going to be the next step. So please bring your Young's or your Strong's concordances with you if you'd like to attend that workshop. And before Nancy Luden teaches God's Word this morning, we're going to sing one more song, number 15. Please stand. Number 15, Complete in Thee.
Do you think our Heavenly Father loves us? Boy. I wanted to look today at being little in our own sight. We've got one who watches over us, who is huge, who is eternal, who is all love. And we didn't bring anything to this. We didn't supply anything. Our Heavenly Father, our God, did it all for us. And in order to really appreciate that, we need to remember what we were. And in walking for Him, we want to remember we didn't bring anything. It's not us. And being little in your own sight really is remembering that you had nothing, that you didn't do anything to deserve this. Natural man, that's a scary thing to think. Really, what is natural man? The man of body and soul, he is made up of his own thoughts and his own ways. the world teaches you pretty loudly to be your own man, stand up on your own two feet, make a mark on the world, make a name for yourself. If you really think about what man of body and soul has, boy, he doesn't want to think that he's got nothing. And that's why he works so hard at making a plan and making something for himself. You can turn to Psalm 103. Man wants to make a name for himself, but unfortunately, after Adam's fall, man already has a name. He's got a few. Enemy, sinner, separated from God. But one of them is dust. That's all he's made of anymore. And that's a really scary thing to think about and consider. In Psalm 103, we'll go to verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth, and the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof knoweth it no more. Man doesn't want to think about that. Man does not want to consider that he is just and done, that he's just dust. But like so many of the songs we sang and some what we heard in Manifestations, we have a God who is eternal, who is beyond words, that when man walked away from him, he decided that he loved and he wanted to make a way back for that man. In verse 11 of Psalm 103, it says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy," God's mercy, "towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof knoweth it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." Man works really, really hard to forget that he's dust. He sets up all kinds of things to convince himself that he's not. But God remembers what we are. And he, in love, decided to make a way for this man that was just dust. God didn't make him that way originally, right? God set up a wonderful place for man. He gave him everything that he needed. He made him with a body and soul and spirit. He gave him his nature. And then when man decided, no, I think I'll follow my own way, I don't think I need to listen to what you have to say, he decided he had better thoughts. He lost that connection with God. He lost spirit. And that man in Genesis 3, you don't have to turn there, 17, I think it's 17. That man, God says, well, now your body and soul, you're going to work in the sweat of your brow, and you're going to die. And you came out of the dust, and that's where you're going back. Yay. That's a scary, scary thing. Nobody wants to think about that. Nobody wants to recognize that. They want to build a plan around themselves that says, no, I'm great. No, I've got a name. I'm really something. Man works so hard to forget that he's dust and to convince everyone else that he's not, because he knows that if you really know that, you know you're helpless. You know you're helpless. You can't do anything about this. But God remembers. God provided everything for man. Let's go to Psalm 113. And man walked away from it. Man said, no, I think I'll do my own thing. But this love that is beyond words that God gave us and communicates to us in his word, he is so gracious in telling us what he's done. Psalm 113, and in verse 4 it says, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. He told Adam when he sinned, you're just dust now. But here he says, he lifts the needy out of the dust, the poor out of the dust, the needy out of the dunghill. Let's look at Isaiah 57. See, every man is in this state. It says there that he lifts the needy out of the dust, out of the dunghill. Every man that's born, natural man, body and soul, is in that state. Not all of them think they are. But God's able to lift those out of it who recognize that's where they are. But to get there, you have to take a look at where you are. You have to recognize that's really all you got. And in Isaiah 57 and verse 15, this is an amazing verse. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. But the verse goes on. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God says that he dwells with those of a humble spirit to revive them. Those that recognize that they are dust. Those that recognize that they have nothing. And the only reason they're there is because God said he wanted to make a plan. That God said he wanted to take care of them. Let's look at Lamentations. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, chapter 3. And in verse 22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God decided back in Genesis when man said, no, thanks, I'm going to go with my own way. I'll figure this out. God decided to make a plan in love to buy that man back, to bring him back to himself. He didn't have to. He could have left us as dust. Work in the sweat of your brow and dust. You came out of that, that's where you're going back. He could have just said, no, never mind, let's start over. And he didn't. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What's new every morning? His compassions, his tender mercies. That's what's new every morning. Is that amazing? That's what's new. And great is his faithfulness. In what? In this plan that he did because of his great compassion. He is faithful and has been faithful in carrying that out in love to get us back, to be able to give us what Adam lost and more. Have you ever just sat and thought about how amazing this love is that God has? If you have, it takes your breath away. We didn't deserve anything. Our great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam decided, no thanks, God. And God right then said, I'm going to get him back. And he worked at a plan in love, faithfully, for a man that was enemy, that was a sinner, that most men walk around their whole life not even paying attention to what he has done, making their own way, planning, scheming. But God, in love, made this plan. His love in doing this is pure. It's unadulterated. It is absolutely beyond words, beyond measure. And it's directed right at you. That's our God. It's an amazing, pure love that he has for us. And it's new every day. You know, when Adam sinned and God told him, where you are, it's your dust. That's all you've got now. If man really recognizes that, that is a really, really scary, scary place to be. But on the other side, when you recognize what God's done and that he did this all by his love, when we totally undeserving, but he said he wanted to because of his love, that's not a scary place to be at all. Dwelling with the God that inhabits all eternity in his love, just basking in what he's done. Oh, now I can think about laying down my stuff, my ways, my thoughts. Why? Because I know the amazing love that he has for me. I don't have to hold on to anything of my own ways. I don't have to be bound by what the world tells me. And the world's really good at yelling in your face, isn't it? You got to make a plan. You got to get this going. You got to get it figured out. It yells really loud. But when you understand and really take the time to just bask in how good and how loving and how gracious and how pure this love is that God has, God's whisper of love is way louder than anything that the world throws your way. It's totally beyond measure. Let's look at John 3:16. I know we know this verse, but Acts 3. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You're not going back to dust. Should not perish, but have everlasting life? Is there any bigger contrast? Let's look at 1 John. 1 John 4. And in verse 9 it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but but that he loved us and he sent his son to be the propitiation or the full payment for sin. Man walked away and God made a plan to get him back. And he, by his son, paid the full price for enemies, for ones that weren't even looking. How about Romans chapter 5? God not only bought us back and gave us, restored us with spirit, but he gave us so much more. Romans 5 and verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended," or introduced, God introduced his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, let me ask you a question. If God had this great love for the world, for man that was dust, he put this plan in place for body and soul dust. Does he have any less love now for you? I don't think so. That love that drove and made a plan is unending. It's faithful. It is just as eternal as our God. He's provided for us in every imaginable way, and his love is still right there, holding you up, with you at every step. Do you need to hold on to anything besides what he says? There's no need. Let's look at Proverbs. You can turn to Proverbs chapter 19. You ever seen a little kid who, you know, he loves his dad and his dad tells him stuff and then somebody comes along and tells him something different? You probably have all seen somebody like that. And the kid goes, the person says something to him that contradicts what his dad says. He goes, "Nuh-uh, my dad said." And that little kid will stand up to, you know, the biggest person around. "Nuh-uh, my dad said." Why? Because he's totally convinced. He's just totally convinced his dad is the most awesome one there is. He knows everything, and he loves him, and "nuh-uh, my dad said." Well, we got a pretty awesome God who is our Father, right? When the world starts throwing stuff at you, when your own heart starts throwing stuff at you, you can turn around and say, "Nuh-uh, my dad said." Because his words are faithful. His words are not like anybody else's words. In Proverbs 19 and in verse 20, it says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices, many plans, many schemes in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand." And sometimes I used to read that and think, you know, yeah, God, he's... What's his counsel towards us? Good, very good, holy and acceptable. That stands. When the world starts throwing things at you, "Oh, yeah, you got to get it together. You can't, oh, no, you're not that good." No. Uh-uh. My dad said, look at Proverbs, 21, sorry, I thought I wrote it down. Proverbs 21 and verse 30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The world likes to tell you otherwise, but there isn't. There is nothing that stands in the way of the counsel of the Lord. There is nothing that will hinder the counsel of the Lord. His words stand. And Claire did a great teaching at teen camp and talked about, you know, the counsel of the Lord stands. Do you want to stand with it? Yeah. That's the only safe place to be. That's the only place that isn't scary. How about Isaiah 55? Isaiah 55, I know we read verse 8 a lot, but look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts, God's thoughts, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can leave our thoughts, our ways behind. And God says, come over here. Stay put on my counsel, what I've said. And that's a really, really safe and just wrapped up in love place to be. You know, if our God wasn't so good, maybe you'd need to go looking elsewhere. But there's nothing that he left out. There's nothing lacking. We are complete. Can you think of some verses that tell you what you have and how absolutely provided for you are? Let's look at Romans chapter 6. God faithfully worked at this plan and brought man back, gave him spirit. He says we have eternal life. We have this love that he's provided, and he's given us his very nature that we can now walk in. We have his very nature to walk in. That's what he says. That's what he says. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 4, it says, therefore, we were buried with him, with Christ, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. What God has given us, what he says, is true. And he's trustworthy, and he's faithful. And he's with us at every step. You know, you ever read, I think it's in Psalms, underneath are the everlasting arms. He has not left us. He's with us in everything that we do. He is faithful in his great love and compassion, tender mercies. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Anything left out? Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Can I live there? I really can. I am holy and without blame before him. And chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Does he love us any less now? No. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is beyond words, way beyond, over the top care and love that he has for us. And he has provided everything that we need. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says he's given us new life and we can walk in it. He said so. And his words are life. His words are true. And he wants us to grow up and stand, but grow up and stand in him. Not in me. Grow up and stand in him. And in verse 14 it says, that we henceforth be no more children. And that word for children is like a baby, one that isn't able to talk yet. He isn't able to speak. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The world and lots of times our own hearts throw a lot of things our way that want to blow at us and tell us otherwise, tell us other things than what God says. It says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's not a breeze. It's a wind. Right? Well, that's the same word that's used in the Gospels when Jesus Christ is talking about the wise man and the foolish man. And they built their house on the rock. The wise man built his house on the rock, the foolish man built on the sand. And the storms came, and the wind blew. What happened to the guy on the rock? Stayed put. He decided, I'm building where God says. Nuh-uh. I'm building where God says. The same storms blew, the same wind blew, but he stayed put. Because the counsel of the Lord stands. He's faithful. He does not change. He is continually the same. Yeah, Romans chapter 6. When you take the time to really consider all that he's done, you can't come to any other conclusion but that I was dust. I was a moment and done. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, even when we were dust, said, no, I'm making a plan. I'm taking them back. When you really take the time to sit and consider and ponder, which the world doesn't want you to do, it wants to blow at you really hard and say, no, 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 you got to get this figured out. No, you got to get it. You got to, what's your plan? What's your, you know, you got to make your mark on the world. You got to get, don't you know everybody else is? Don't you understand it? No. Stop. Take the time and consider the love that God has. And that these words to us are absolutely pure, unadulterated love. And when you do, there is no other conclusion that you can come to other than, this is where I stand. These are true. In Romans 6, and in, where'd I go? verse 11. It says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." Are we? "Reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Boy, it's a wonderful, amazing place to be, to recognize you can let go of all the stuff that you thought you had to hold on to just so you had, you know, one more thing to go. You can let go of all of that and just stand there going, "Wow, I'm yours. You've provided everything. I can walk, I can move, I can be, I can love, I can do everything you say I can do. And I can put aside all of that other stuff." That is being little in our own sight. We put aside our ways and our thoughts and say, "No, this is what I'm going, this is what I believe, this is what I hold. Because he said so. And he loves me." Let's look at James. James 1. James 1, and in verse 16, it says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow, neither shadow of turning." So where does every good and perfect gift come from? From God. Do I need to go look anywhere else? I'd be silly to do that, wouldn't I? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from my Father. That's where I want to stay put. Nuh-uh. My Father said, I have all of this. And the next verse says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." We can put aside all of that, knowing that of his own will, he begot us. He's right here with us at every step. So we're swift to hear his words. Just like that little kid. He eats up every word that his dad says so that when he's out there, this is what he said. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. God's words aren't like any, they're not like man's words. They're life. They're true. They're spirit. They're living and real and powerful. And unlike the little kid who, you know, if his dad was right, great. But if his dad wasn't, he could be proved wrong. We can't ever, ever, ever be proved wrong standing with the counsel of the Lord. It's not going to happen. They're his words. They're true. They're powerful. They come to pass. He watches over them. They came from him. He's faithful. So if he says that I have these things, that I can walk in a new nature, in a new way, then I can. Because he said so. And it's really, really that simple to stand right there basking in him, in his love, and say exactly what he says. He said so. I can stand here in His love, in His care, and walk in what He gave, and I can set aside all the other things. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 12, it says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies." Well, I can't do that. Wait, no. What? Yes, I can. Why? Because He said so. I have this. I have His nature. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind." Can you have humbleness of mind when you remember you were just dust? You were a little... And He said, "I want them back. And I'm going to give them everything they need to be able to walk." Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Oh, I can't do that. Wait. God says I can. Did He? Yeah. I have His nature. I can do that just like He did. Because He said so. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Put on this love. Remember what we've been given. It is beyond words. It's eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. It's faithful. It never fails. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Can you be thankful? Standing in God's presence? Yeah, I can. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We are so blessed. We are so wrapped up in all that He's given. And He just says, remember that. Remember that these words are not like anybody else's, and I'm right there with you at every turn. And stay put on it. Stay put on what He says. And then in verse 17, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, to God and the Father by Him." The life that I now have, I don't have to bring any of my past ways, my thoughts, my anything into it. The life that I now have, moment by moment, second by second, day by day, I can decide to walk in what He gave. I can decide to think His thoughts, to put on His words, to put on His ways. And when I do that, I am walking as a spiritual being blessed by God, walking as one who He redeemed, walking as my Lord would walk. I can't do that in me, but I certainly can with Him. We have this new life and this new nature, and we really, really can lay aside our own ways and our own thoughts and simply walk saying, "Thus saith the Lord, this is mine, this is ours, we have this, I can do this, because He said so." Amen? I'm going to pray. Father, thank You so much for Your amazing care, and that You are with us at every step, that You've so abundantly provided for us. At every turn, there's nothing left undone. Thank You that we can remember what You've done, and that we had nothing, and that we brought nothing to this, and that we can rise up and walk as Your sons, beloved and holy, putting on what You've given. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's close with number 32, please. He lifted me. Number 32. Take care of in prayer, or you need healing, please don't leave this morning without getting it taken care of. Find your fellowship leader, ask the person next to you, but take care of it. Leave here with nothing but the purity of God's word and God's love. So God bless you. See you at camp. Yay!